Today Shir's Masechta Rosh Hashanah, Daf Hey. We will begin on Daf Dalar Mebeis on the bottom line, Elamai Hilchasa. In our previous year, the Gemara quoted the Pasuk that teaches us Shalosh Pam B'Shana Yirah Kol Zechurchas Pnei Hashem L'Kechab. The Shalosh Regalim we have to be Eil Regal. B'Makom Hashivcha, B'Chag HaMatzah, B'Chag HaShavuos, B'Chag HaSukkos. And the Gemara asked, why does the Torah have to repeat the three Yom Tovim? The Torah already told us that on the three Yom Tovim, on the Shalosh Regalim, we are obligated to be Oil Regal. And the Gemara said that the reason the Torah said Chag HaShavuos and Chag HaPesach is to teach us that just like Pesach is a seven-day Yontif, so too Shavuos, although the actual Yontif of Shavuos is only one day, the Torah teaches us that there's Tashlumim, that if one did not bring the Karbonos that he's obligated to bring on Shavuos on the first day, he can make it up during the next 6 days for a total of 7 days. And the Gemara had asked, so instead of learning it from Pesach and giving us a total of 7 days, why don't we compare Shavuos to Sukkos to give us a total of 8 days? And the Gemara said, Tefasta merubah lo tefasta, tefasta mor tefasta. If we could learn from a greater number or a smaller number, we prefer to go with the smaller number. And as we explained when we learned this year, because when we take smaller number, we know we can't go wrong. When we take the higher number, we may be taking more than we ought to take. But that has explained why the Torah had to teach us both the Pasuk of Chag HaShavuos and Chag HaPesach. But what hasn't been answered in this discussion is why, asked the Gemara, Elamai Hilchsa Kas Rachman al Chag HaSukkos. So why did the Torah in this parasha have to teach us again Chag HaSukkos? Answers the Gemara, Lekush al Chag HaMatzos. They wanted to compare Chag HaSukkos to Chag HaMatzos, Sukkos to Pesach. Ma Chag HaMatzos, just like Pesach, ton lino, that one has to stay in Yerushalayim. Af Chag HaSukkos, after the first night, after one has to remain in at Yerushalayim, ton lino, on the night after the first day of Yontif. Ask the Gemara. So we're comparing Sukkos to Pesach to teach us that halacha. Ask them Rav Hosman Nolan, and how do we know by Pesach that is the halacha? Says the Mardik Siv, because the Torah teaches us by the Yontif of Pesach, ufanisa b'boika v'alachta l'alecha. The pasuk is speaking about the first day of Chol HaMoed. It's not speaking about the first day of Yontif. And the reason Rashi says we're speaking about that one has to stay over Motzei, the first day of Yontif, because on the first day of Yontif, he needs to be in Yerushalayim anyway, because he has to be in Yerushalayim to bring the Karbonos that one is obligated to bring on the first day of Yontif, and you have to bring those Karbonos and be in the Azara on the first day of Yontif. Another pshat that Rashi Masechta Chagiga explains, because on Yontif, it's obvious that one can't travel home. It's Yontif, and one can't travel Chutz L'Tchum on Yontif. So if the Torah is telling us that he should remain, it's obvious that he should remain till the first morning of Chol HaMoed. This is the way Rashi here, Anam Masechta Chagiga Daf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph, explain our Gemara, that our Gemara here is teaching us that one has to remain in Yerushalayim over after the first night, after Yontif, Matzah Yontif Rishon, and only travel home, can only start traveling home on the first morning of Chol HaMoed. However, Rashi in Masechta the Shab Sochim, Daf Tzadik Heyom Beis, has a different explanation, that the Pasuk is teaching us that we have to remain in Yerushalayim for the first night of Yontif, and technically he could travel home on the first day of Yontif. Of course, there are other considerations that may protect him, prevent him from going home. One is that he has to bring kabbanis, as we said. He has to come to the Azara and bring kabbanis. Another consideration that may be an issue is that he can't go, as we said, chutz l'tchum. But taking all those considerations away, the Torah is teaching us, according to Rashi, that he has to remain, in Rashi and Pesachim, he has to stay the first night. Ask the Gemara, the Tanakhama of Shimon, the Tanakhama of Shimon who teach the Pasuk of Shalosh Pam B'Shana to teach us the halachas about Ta'achar. Ask the Gemara, Tashlumin Latzeres M'Nalahu. They've used the Pasuk to teach us that we'd need to have only three, after three Yom Tovim pass, is one violate Baal Ta'achar. So the Pasuk is not superfluous at all. So if that's the case, how will we know the halacha about Ta'achar? Answers the Gemara, where would they learn the halacha of Tashlumin for Shavuos? Answers the Gemara, Nafkalim the Tana Rabba Shmuel. The Tana Rabba Shmuel, the Pasuk says, Amr Torah, Manei Yomim, count 29 and 30 or 30 days, the Kadesh Chodesh, and then it's Rosh Chodesh, which means, actually, from we know that the Jewish month is based on the new moon, and the new moon is called the Maylid, and from one Maylid to the next Maylid, there are actually 29 days, 12 hours, and a certain amount of Chalakim. So really, Rosh Chodesh ought to be 29 and a half days. There should be 29 and a half days between the Rosh Chodeshim. However, the halacha is that the Torah says regarding Rosh Chodesh, Ad Chodesh Shamim. So from that pasuk that we learned that Rosh Chodesh has to be a full day, full amount of days, not half days. And that's why in the Jewish calendar, there's some months that are 29 days long, and there's some months that are 30 days long. And the Torah is teaching us that when it comes to Rosh Chodesh, Manei Yomim, count full days, and then afterwards you'll have Rosh Chodesh. Manei Yomim and Kadesh Chodesh, and then you'll have Rosh Chodesh. The similar, the Torah says, Manei Yomim, count days, and Kadesh Atzeres, and make Shavuos. So says the Gemara, Mach Chodesh, how many days are there Rosh Chodesh? Rosh Chodesh is related to the amount, to what is used as the way to count towards Rosh Chodesh. As we just said, we count days to get to a Rosh Chodesh. Af Atzeres, Lemenuyov, Atzeres, Shavuos should go according to the amount it's for it, what causes it to happen. And we know that Shavuos is after 49 days of the Svirah. Ask the Gemara, if that is indeed the case, so Eim Atzeres Chad Yoyma, then Shavuos should be just a one-day Yontif, and we should just be one day where we can bring the Karbon, because the Torah says we count 49 days, or actually the Torah says count 50 days, but it's counted in days. So why are we learning that the Tashlumim of Shavuos a whole week? Answers the Gemara Amar Rava, when we count the Sfira, do we only count days? We don't count weeks. V'amamar, isn't that halacha regarding Sfira Sa'aymer? Mitzvah l'mimne yomi. There's a mitzvah to count the days of the Aymer, or mitzvah l'mimne shvua, but there's also a mitzvah to count the weeks. So if that's the case, Shvuas has both elements. Day, and that's why the yontif is a one-day yontif, and weeks, because we count Shavuos, we count towards Shavuos with weeks, and that's why it says Tashlumim of a week for Yontif Shavuos. Furthermore, says the Gemara, we certainly cannot ignore the element of weeks when we speak about Yontif Shavuos, because the Torah itself says Chag Shavuos Ksiv. So the Torah clearly indicates that Shavuos should be counted by weeks. So the question is that the Torah says, Tosfos asks, so the Torah, when it counts Shavuos, counts both days and weeks. So ask Tosfos, if the Torah counts both days and weeks, and as we learned at the end of our previous year, and we mentioned at the beginning of our current year, that the rule is Tfastam Rubaloi Tfasta, so if we could count days and weeks, so why are we counting weeks? We should only count days. So Tosfos answers, since we learn from Rosh Chodesh that we count from days, so obviously Rosh Shavuos should be counted that way. And therefore, when the Pasuk is teaching us that there must be another limud to teach us, the Torah, and that's exactly what Rabbeinu Yonah says. What the Torah is trying to tell us is that don't just rely on mitzvah memni yoimi and mitzvah memni shvui. Because if we're going to look at both of them, then indeed maybe we should only count days, because tefasta mu tefasta. But the fact, says the Gemara, the chag shvuos ksiv, that the Torah goes out of the way calling shvuos chag shvuos, what is the Torah doing by teaching us that, by using those words? To use the week element, also the element of the weeks, in the Yontif of Shavuos. Moreover, says the Rishash says that actually both the Yoimei and the Shavuei, the weeks and the days, are used in coming up with Shavuos. Because the Karban Musaf of Shavuos, the actual Yontif of Shavuos, is only a one-day Yontif. This that we could extend Shavuos with Tashlumim is only for the Kabbanas that individuals had to bring. And that's what the Torah is teaching us. We have a Yoimei element to the Shavuos, and we have a Shavuei element to the Shavuos. Both are requirements in the counting. Both are requirements, and both are used in establishing the Yontif Shavuos. So as we mentioned a moment ago, Jewish months are always 30 days. Even though, as we mentioned, there are 20 days, 29 and a half days between the two milots, the month is always 30 days. And the question is that we know that the Torah says that when one has a son, who is a firstborn son, Pater Rechem, the Torah Kedoshah says, Ubeduyov ben Chodesh Tifta. And there's a very big chiddush that the Bach in Yerideya, Simon Shin Hei Sif Yudala, teaches us, that even though, as we just said, that as far as a month is concerned, a Jewish month has to be full days, and therefore the Jewish month has to be either 29 or 30 days, as far as Halacha Pidyon HaBen, the Halacha is that 29 and a half days is the amount of time between one Moilad and another Moilad, and therefore says the Bach, and actually the Shach agrees with the Bach in there in Simen Shin Hei Sifkaten Yud Bei, Sifkaten Yud Tes, that you can make a Pinyon Ben even after 29 and a half days. The Shalos HaTshuvos, Trumas HaDeshen, disagrees with the Bach, and that's also the opinion of the Magen Avraham and Aruch Chaim, Simen Shin Lamed Tes Sifkaten Ches, that our Gemara, and he quotes our Gemara, that our Gemara is teaching us that there's only full days when we speak about a month. It's either 29 days or 30 days. Anything else doesn't come into consideration. Furthermore, our Gemara just taught us that as far as Hilchas Sfiras HaOmer is concerned, we always have to count days and weeks. And that's the halacha, that when we count the Sfira, we have to count both. And the halacha is, says the Mishnah Berura, that in Siman, the Mishnah Berura says that somebody counted days without counting weeks, he has to count over the Sfira. But, says the Mishnah Berura, we know that if somebody missed counting one of the nights of Sfira and also didn't count the Sfira the next day, he can no longer count the Sfira with a bracha. Says the Mishnah Berura, if one counted the Sfira with only saying days and not saying weeks, he could continue counting the Sfira on the other days of the Sfira with a bracha. But if one's counting of the Sfira was only weeks and not days, even though it was clear in our Gemara that you're supposed to count both days and weeks, counting days alone is certainly inadequate. It's not considered as if you counted the Sfira. And therefore, if that's the only way you counted the Sfira on that day, you can no longer count the Sfira on the other days. You can no longer count the Sfira on the other days with a bracha. It's considered like you didn't count the Sfira that one day, that you can no longer count with a bracha. So we learned in the Braisa, on Daf Tal Amud Aleph, the Gemara, the Braisa over there, a lengthy Braisa, identified in all the situations where one can be over Baal Ta'achar. And one of the things that the Gemara, one of the Kabbonis that the Braisa mentioned, where one can be over Baal Ta'achar, is by the Karman Pesach. Ask the Gemara, or Pesach by Mikra Bergolamu, is Pesach a carbon that can be brought in any yontif that we could discuss how many yom tovim pass until you're over Baal Ta'achar? Ask the Gemara, Pesach zman kfile. There's only one time when one can bring the carbon Pesach, and that's on Erev Pesach. And the halacha is, i'akrave, if you brought in an Erev Pesach, great, v'ilay akrave, and if you don't bring it on Erev Pesach, itchale, you can no longer bring it after that. So how could we say that these rules about Ta'achar apply? Answers the Gemara, Amar Rav Chisda, Pesach Kedei Nazba. Indeed, this halacha doesn't apply to Karban Pesach. A Karban Pesach, the regular rules about Ta'achar don't apply. It's Karban Pesach was mentioned together with all the other Kabbanas. So I saw Machlokes Rishonim. What does that mean? How do we understand that pace, how do we understand what the Gemara is saying, that the regular halacha about Ta'achar doesn't apply with Pesach? Does it mean that you're over Baal Ta'achar immediately right after Erev Pesach? That if Erev Pesach, you didn't bring the Karban Pesach, then you're over Baal Ta'achar immediately? Or does it, in other words, that, and the Shear is different than all other Kabbanas, which are three Yom Tovim, everybody will agree by the Karban Pesach, you're over Baal Ta'achar immediately if you didn't bring it on Erev Pesach? Or the Meiri suggests that Karban Pesach, since it's a carbon that has a time that you have to bring it, the halacha is that that carbon is not subject to carbon, to Hilchas Baal Ta'achar at all. And the Rishonim want to suggest that when Rav Chisda says Pesach Kedei Nazba, it's a very difficult teretz. What does Pesach Kedei Nazba mean? The Braisa meant Pesach, but it doesn't really belong there. But we know that every word in a Braisa is extremely precise. So how could the Gemara say Pesach Kedei Nazba doesn't really belong there? It was just mentioned, but it shouldn't have been mentioned. But if we're going to say that the Korban Pesach is subject to Baal Ta'achar, just as a different type than a Baal Ta'achar, it's not three Yom Tovim, it's immediately one Yom Tov or two Yom Tovim, it's immediately after Erev Pesach, if you didn't bring it in a timely fashion, we understand how it belongs in the Braisa. It is subject to Hilchos Baal Ta'achar, it just doesn't have the standard halachos Baal Ta'achar, Yoiv Baal Ta'achar right away. However, points out the Sfas Emes, that even according to the opinion of the Rishonim, that say that you over by Karban Pesach Baal Ta'achar immediately if you didn't bring it on Erev Pesach, points out the Sfas Emes, that's only if the animal will no longer be fit to be used as a Karban Pesach on Pesach Sheni. He says, however, if we're going to have a animal that's usable for Pesach Sheni, everybody would agree that you're not over Baal Ta'achar immediately after Erev Pesach, because you still have the opportunity to bring the carbon on Pesach Sheni. Rav Sheshe says, when the Braisa said the word Pesach, what it meant was Shalmei Pesach. That the halacha is that a carbon Pesach, if an animal was designated for carbon Pesach, and then it got lost, and you brought a different animal in its place, and now you find the original animal, so the original animal has to be brought to the carbon Shlomim. And if it's brought as a, since it's brought as a carbon shlomim, it has the halacha of the carbon shlomim. Ask the Gemara, if that's what the Braisa is speaking about, ihachi hainu shlomim. So that's a perfect example of a carbon shlomim. Why does the Braisa have to mention this carbon Pesach? The shlomim is already mentioned in the Braisa. Answers the Gemara, Tana shlomim, haba machlokes Pesach. The Braisa wanted to give us two different examples of Karban Shlomim. Braisa wanted to tell us of Karban Shlomim that came because of the situation we just described where the Karban Pesach was lost. And the Braisa wanted to talk about a Karban Shlomim that's a regular Karban Shlomim. Because we would think that the Karban Pesach that was lost and now was found and now is being brought as a Karban Shlomim, Hoyl u'machmas Pesach kasi, since they emanated and were originally Karban Pesach to Pesach dami, and therefore should not have the standard halachas of Baal Ta'achar, Kamash Malon, that it does. Ask the Gemara, Mina Hanimili. So the Braisa, as we said, gave us a long list of situations where Halacha about Ta'acha applies. Ask the Gemara, how do we know this? Says the Gemara, the Tana Rabbanan, Kisida Neder, Eli Ela Neder. The Torah teaches us only when somebody says, Hare Olai Carbon. The Halacha is, there are two ways that one could donate a carbon. One is a Neder and one is an Adava. A Neder is when somebody said, Hare Olai Oila. He took it as a personal obligation to bring a carbon. And the halacha there is that if he designated an animal to fulfill his pledge, and then that animal got lost, he must replace that animal. On the dava is when somebody said, I raise zoo carbon. He specified a specific animal that animal is going to be used as carbon. That the halacha is, if that animal is lost, he doesn't have to replace it because he said, I'm bringing this animal. If this animal is not able to be brought, there is no obligation to replace it. So the Torah, when it speaks about the lav about Tachar, only speaks by a neder. The dover minayin, how do we know that halacha about Tachar applies by in the dover situation as well? Says the Gemara, nemekah neder. It says regarding the halacha about ta'achar, the word neder, the nemel halon regarding the halacha of noiser, every carbon we know has a certain window by when it has to be eaten. If you didn't eat it within that time, it becomes noiser. And the Torah, when it speaks about neder, noiser, says em neder on the dova, ma'al halon the dova imay. Just like when it comes to noiser, neder and the dova are treated the same. Afkan here too, the halacha is Nedava imoy, the halacha of Baal Ta'achar applies both to Neder and Nedava. So the Beshech Chochma asks a very interesting question. Why by Noiser does the Torah spell out that this halacha applies both by Neder and Nedava? Whereas by Baal Ta'achar, the Torah only says it applies to a Neder, and then, as we just learned, the pasuk is used to teach us that it applies to Nedava as well. Says the Mishnah Chochma, that the Torah speaks about reality. He says, a person is likely to regret making a neder, but not regret making an adava. Because an adava, as the word adava implies, a person wants to give an adava. If a person had that machshava, we're sure that he's going to fulfill his obligation. A neder is not something that came from his heart. He could have been coerced into it. Of course, coerced in a halachically acceptable manner. That's why the Torah had to go out of its way to say that be careful. Once you made the neder, you have to be careful not to violate Baal Ta'achar. However, when it comes to eating the meat of a carbon, there's no reason to differentiate between a neder and a dova. And therefore, the Torah mentions by the eating of the meat, both neder and a dova. We furthermore learned, L'shem l'kecha, elu charamim, elu adamim, if somebody says he's going to give his value, erchin, as we know the Torah says that every person, based on their age and their gender, has an erich, hacharamim, d'achemi b'edekabayis, d'achemi hegdashis, d'achemi kohanim v'hegdashis, all of them, the halacha is that they are subject to the halacha about tachar. The Torah comes to teach us who, that the animal I designated, there is an obligation about Ta'achar, but not on its substitute. And the Gemara is going to analyze this entire Braisa. Kidarsh Darishana, Elu Chatas Vashamas, Oilus Vashlamim. By all these various different types of Kabbonis, there's a din of Baal Ta'achar. Hashem Elakechab, Elu Tztokas, as we discussed in our previous year, that there's a chiyah Baal Ta'achar when one obligates himself to give tzedakah, or maisris, or bechor. And as we discussed, Baal Ta'achar by tzedakah may be different, maybe under certain circumstances, one is over Baal Ta'achar immediately. We had that discussion. I saw an interesting tshuva from the Shas Tshuvas Har Tzvi, Yoredeya Simon Reish. He says that there's a unique halacha regarding nidrei tzedakah. The halacha by nidrei tzedakah is that they're chal b'machshava. Normally, a neder doesn't become relevant unless one articulates his neder. But nidrei tzedakah As soon as somebody had a mind to give tzedakah, he's obligated to give that tzedakah. So the question is, does the halacha about the acher that we just learned in the Gemara apply to tzedakah, that applies to tzedakah, even apply to nidrei tzedakah that became relevant through machshava? And he says that even though one has to fulfill an obligation of tzedakah that he just had a neder b'machshava, it doesn't reach the level that it should be subject to Baal Ta'achar. Well, Shmi'imach zeh lekas shichva peya, that the halacha Baal Ta'achar applies by lekas shichva peya. V'hoi b'cheit, says the Gemara, that if you don't bring the carbon in the proper time, you will be over Baal Ta'achar, but it's not considered that the carbon becomes disqualified. And as the Rishonim point out, why does the Torah have to teach us this? Because we would think that if one is over Baal Ta'achar, then it becomes now a mitzvah baba aveira. And since it's a mitzvah baba aveira, it should be disqualified. It teaches us the Gemara that the Isser of Baal Ta'achar is the Isser on the Gavra. The individual who didn't bring the carbon in the timely fashion did an aveira, but that doesn't create that the carbon should be disqualified. Amar, so we just learned in the Braisa, that the halach of Leisa'achar applies to the carbon, who, on the carbon itself, the loy chalufav, and not what is used to exchange. Ask the Gemara exactly what is meant here. Chalufi mai, what are we trying to exchange? E, chalufi oil of shlomim, that means somebody lost his carbon, oil of carbon shlomim, and he designated another animal, and then the first animal was found. So the halacha is mikra kavi. The halacha is that you have to bring both kabbanis. So they're full-fledged kabbanis. If they're full-fledged kabbanis, they're certainly subject to hilchas Baal Ta'achar. If, on the other hand, b'chalufei chatas, we're talking about a karma chatas that got lost and then designated a second one and the first animal was then found, the halacha is lemisa azla. The animal that you don't bring as a karma chatas is taken to death. As the Gemara and Masechta Temura Daf Tes Zayin Amun Aleph teaches us, there are chamesh chatas, that there are five karmic chatas that there's aloch lemoshe mesinai that lemisa azla. Chatas in skapur balea, a karmic chatas that his owner already had a kapara with a different carbon. Chatas shemesu balea, and the reason is because the karmic chatas is here to bring a kapara. So if you already brought a different carbon, you need not bring this carbon. And similarly, if the owner passed away, so his misa affected kapara for him, and he need not bring the carbon chatas. A tamuris chatas, a chatas she'ovr shenasa v'lat chatas. So what is the b'raisa referring to when we speak about chalufi chatas? And the Rishonim point out that it also cannot be referring to carbon asham, because the halacha in Masechta Temura is taught that chol shebechatas mesa, any of these cases that we said that by carbon chatas it's lemisa azla, by carbon asham l'riya azla, it goes out for riya, it has to be left to pasture. So what does it mean? It says the Gemara, amai chalufav, what is the case of chalufav? A chalufei toida. What it means, somebody had an animal which he designated as a karma toida, and now he has a different animal that he designated in its place, and now these two animals are mixed up, and I don't know which is the karma toida and which is the tamura. The Tanit Bei Rav Chiya, we learned in the Yeshiva Rav Chiya, Toidish and Sarvet Tumarasoi, if these two karma toidas get mixed up, or Mesa Achsmem, and now one of them dies, Chaverta Enlo Takana, there's nothing we could do in the bringing of the other carbon that's still alive. Because we know when we bring a carbon taida, with the carbon taida, we have to bring along 40 chalas. Four different types, 10 of each. 10 times 4. Liquor of a lechem, lechem ba'adah. So should I take this carbon that still survived and bring the chalas with it? Dilma tamurihi. Maybe it's not the real carbon taida. It's only the tamura. And the halacha is the tamura's taida is not brought with lechem. And to say, well, I bring it, and if I don't have to bring it, so what's the problem? No, that would be a real issue, because that would be a concern of bringing chulin lazara, bringing food that you're not supposed to bring to lazara. Likva b'loy lechem, so bring it without the lechem, that's also not an option. Because dilma taidihi, maybe this is the real carbon taida that has to be brought with lechem. And therefore, in such a hacha for her, so ask the Gemara, so if that's the case, that can't be what the Bryce is speaking about. Because kivin de la basa krovihi, if this animal cannot be brought as a carbon, so obviously it can't be subject to Baal Ta'achar. Kro lama lamutali. So why would I need a pasuk to tell us that it's not subject to Baal Ta'achar? Of course it's not subject to Baal Ta'achar if it can't be brought as a carbon. So Rashi points out that this dilemma that we just discussed in the Gemara is only if one of the animals died. But if both of them are here, we can make a tanai. Bring both of them and bring the chalas and say that whichever is the animal that I'm chuyiv to, that is the karma taida, these are the chalas that belong with it and I'm bringing that way. And the other ones will just be brought as a nedava. The Miches Chinuch asks an interesting question. How can we ever be oiv about ta'acha by a carbon toido? He asks, as we've been learning, one doesn't violate Baal Ta'acha unless Shalosh Regalim pass. One of the Shalosh Regalim is Pesach. And on Pesach, one can't bring a carbon toido. Because as we just said, with the carbon toido brought 40 chalas, with some of them, a chametz. And that's in fact why we don't say Mizmor L'Soida on Erev Pesach and for the entire Yontev of Pesach. So how could you ever be oiv about ta'achar on a karmen toida? So he suggests that even though one Yontev you can't bring it, but the fact that you could bring another two other Yontevim is enough to make it that you could be oiv about ta'achar. Other Achroinim suggest that to be oiv about ta'achar by karmen toida, you have to have four Yontevim to make up for Pesach, which is not an option. So again, the Gemara is seeking to understand what is the chalufei that there's no Baal Ta'acha by a chalufei carbon. What is the case? You had an animal that was designated as a carbon oil of carbon shlomim, and two yom toivim passed, and then that animal became Baal Mum, and then you brought a different animal to replace it. And this other animal, this new animal, the replacement animal, one yontif passed. Salkadat chamina. So we would think that since this new animal emanates from the original animal, so we should combine the two yamim tovim that the first animal passed. Hoyel umikayach kamik asi kamanta avr lo shal shugolim dami. Kamashmalon, that the halacha baal ta'achar is only applicable on the actual animal that we're going to bring. Ask the Gemara, this teretz is a great teretz if you say that you're not oiv about ta'achar until three yom poivim pass. However, ask the Gemara, or Ramei Adam, kivin sh'oval of regal achar, that as soon as one yontif passes, oiv about ta'achar, you're ready, oiv about ta'achar, so my ikal meimer, how would we understand what is the braisa teaching us, hu v'loi chalufov? Answers the Gemara, I'm a Rava, hachem my skin, and Ramei is going to say that the Bryce is speaking about a case, kigon shahumim b'toich regel. The first animal became about mum in the middle of Yontif. And there, v'chilaloi, and we replaced it with a second animal, v'chilaloi of a regel. And now the rest of the Yontif passed, sa'akadat chamina hoyo m'koyach kamikasi. So we take these two animals and we combine them, a whole Yontif had passed, and according to Ramei, maybe you're over Baal Ta'achar, Kamash Milan, Kamash Dovah Kula Regal Dami, Kamash Milan, that in order to be over Baal Ta'achar, the entire Yontif has to pass. And unless the entire Yontif doesn't pass, you're not over Baal Ta'achar. And in fact, the Ran says that let's say somebody, we're learning, we know that we paskin, that we're over Baal Ta'achar only after three Yom Tovim. And we paskin not only after three Yom Tovim, but those three Yom Tovim have to be consecutive. Pesach, Shavuos, Sukkos. So he says, let's say somebody was menadav a carbon, denoted a carbon in the middle of Pesach. So when will he be over Baal Ta'achar? Will he be over Baal Ta'achar after the first days of Pesach next year? Or, since we're learning now a half a Yontif doesn't count, says the Ran, a carbon that was donated in the middle of Yontif is only counted after the first whole Yontif passes that it was a carbon. The pasuk says, we learned, the Braisa taught us, You are oiva v'atacha, but it doesn't disqualify the carbon. Ask the Gemara, ha'malach nafka. Is this halacha learned from this pasuk? Ask the Gemara, medacherim nafka. This halacha is learned from what the acherim taught us. The Tanya Cherim Amrim, Yochel Yebechosh Avr Shinosik Psula Megadoshim, where you think the halacha is that the Bechar should be brought within the first year of its life, and if somebody did not bring it within that first year, it should be considered like a disqualified carbon, the apostle, and now it should become permanently disqualified. Tamaloima, V'chat Ofnei Hashem Elkecha, B'mokim Hashiyivcha Yilashak and Shema Yisham, Masa Degon Chitirosh V'tzerecha, V'v'kairis B'karach V'tzoyncha, Makish B'chol L'maisa. If you didn't give the Meiser in the year that you separated it, you could bring it, you could give it next year. At Bechar, so too the halacha is by Bechar, Eine Nifse Mishon El Chavertoi. So why do we need this limud to teach us V'hoi Bechar Chet, V'hoi Bechar Bancha Chet? Answers the Gemara, it's true, because we only had the limud of Acherim by Bechar, Salkadat Chemina Hanimil Bechar D'la Baratzohi. The Bechar is not brought as a kapara. The Bechar is brought because that's what the Torah said, that the firstborn animal should be brought as a Bechar, as a carbon. Ava Kachim, all other Kachim, the Bnei Atzoninu, that they come for Kapara, and even the Oila, which is in the Shlomim, still have an element of Atzah. The oil is mechapra mitzvah to say. The shlomim is here to make shalom, to make peace between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kav Yochel. So we would think by those kabbanas, there's a din of Baal Ta'achar. Eim loy lirtzu, and if one violated Baal Ta'achar, they can't affect Hartzah, Kamash Malan, that they do, even though one violated Baal Ta'achar. Ask the Gemara, Vadayin Kasha, but we still have a question. That the halacha, that a carbon does not become disqualified just because you violated Ben Baal Ta'achar, could be taught from what Ben Azai taught us regarding the halacha of pigel. We know that if somebody brought a carbon and the kohen had a machshava to do the avoida in the wrong time or in the wrong place, the carbon, or to eat the carbon after the proper time, the carbon becomes pigel. And the Torah, when it speaks about pigel, says, "Vim ya'ochel ya'ochel b'zah zevach hashlamim b'yom hashlish lo yirotzo ha'makav yisov lo yichosh lo pigel yia." So we see from here the pasuk uses the word oisai. What do we learn from the word oisai? Oisai matam alaymer. Says the Gemara, what do we learn from the word oisai? Lefisha nemar, because says Ben Azai, we have been learning that if one doesn't bring the carbon in the proper time, he's over the lav of loisach l'shamoi shomer shemayani. I would think that af ma'achan nadroi, that if somebody doesn't bring his carbon in the proper time, he's bal yirotza. The carbon is not effective. Tamalayma oisoi oisoi bal yirotza. The carbon which is pigel is ineffective. Ve'im ma'achan nadroi, but if you violate about ta'achar, lo yirotza doesn't make the carbon ineffective. Ask the Gemara. El b'chal chet. The pasuk says that v'ay b'chal chet v'loy b'shtachal chet. So ask the Gemara, so I learn it from there. So what am I going to use the word b'chal to teach us? Teaches us the Gemara to teach us a different lesson. B'chal chet v'loy b'shtachal chet. K'sal k'dat chamina. Ha'av amr Rav Yochai v'tamer b'lozer. The Gemara teaches us ein ishta shlada mesa, the cause for women to die is elam came of action menu. If he wants to take money that he doesn't deserve, that the pasuk in Mishlei teaches us that if you don't pay what you're obligated to pay, you will lose your wife. If one violates the law about the acher, same halach ought to apply. Kamash Malon, that it doesn't apply, and somebody. If somebody is not over Baal Ta'achar, if somebody, Chas V'Sholem, was over Baal Ta'achar, then he's not, that doesn't cause his wife to pass away. So the question is that if somebody, so at what point will, ask the Rishonim, his wife suffer because of him not paying the nether? If Baal Ta'achar is not the reason that he's going to be punished, he could always say that he's going to pay. And since he's always could say that he's going to pay, why is he over Baal Ta'achar? And because of this question, The Turi Evan explains that we're speaking about a person who has absolutely no intention to pay. Such a person who has no intention to pay, his wife, his family will suffer. But if it is his intention to pay, even though right now he isn't paying something that he's obligated to pay, the halacha is that won't cause, according to Turi Evan, that his family should suffer. So of course the question that the Mefarshim ask is, why does the wife get punished because the husband doesn't pay? So Rabbeinu Betzalel, quoting the Gilyon, says because the wife is his excuse for not paying. The person who took upon himself an obligation and now doesn't pay his obligation uses his wife as the excuse, who says, as we learn often in Shas, that his nechasim, his property, are mortgaged to his ksuba. So since his wife became the excuse, that's why he should suffer. Other mefarshim I saw explain, because his wife only is punished if she is the one that convinces him and tells him not to pay. If his wife is innocent, she doesn't deserve it, she won't get paid. But then I saw a different pshat from Rabbi Eliyahu Lapyan Zatzal in the Sefer Lev Eliyahu. He says that the pasuk describes HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kel Amunah Ve'ein Ovel. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he does judgment, Ve'ein Ovel, there's nothing corrupt. Ovel, there's no corruption in his judgment. So what pshat in the pasuk that there is no corruption in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's judgment? Would anybody, Chas V'Shalom, accuse HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kaviyachol, of being corrupt, that the pasuk has to tell us Ve'ein Ovel? So Lev Eliyahu explains that there's a very fundamental difference between the judgment of a human being, the judgment in a regular court, and the judgment of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When a regular judge judges a person, if a person did something that he wasn't supposed to do, he deserves to be punished. And he is punished. The fact that his family, who's innocent, suffer as well, that's too bad. It's something that the judge is not happy necessarily about, but there's nothing he can do. He has to punish the perpetrator of the crime. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is very different. HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks at the entire picture. And even if this person, Rachman Tzlan, is deserving a punishment, but if his family is not deserving a punishment, they will not be punished. And the same thing goes vice versa, says Rabbi Eliyahu Lapyan. If the family is deserving of punishment, even if he maybe is not doing something which is so bad, he will suffer. If a person did something wrong, said he didn't pay his neder, explains Rabbi Eliyahu Lapyan, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kaviyachol looks at the entire picture. And because HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks at the entire picture, and he looks at this wife, and maybe this wife is not deserving of punishment, but because the husband didn't pay the neder, and the Kadosh Baruch Hu looks at her and says, maybe normally I wouldn't have punished her, but now that I'm looking and I see that she deserves punishment, and that's how she gets punished. Everything HaKadosh Baruch Hu does, Kel Amuno Ve'ein Ovel.